Welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast. This is Garth.
And Jen.
How's it going, Jen?
Good. And we have some guests in the studio.
We have two guests, yes. Well, not one guest. One of them is our regular producer, Troy Presley. And there's our other guest, a little hello from Luna. Welcome to the podcast, Luna. And welcome, everybody. How was your week of Mahjong?
My week of Mahjong sucked.
Yes, I remember. Yeah, actually, we'll get into that in the results. It was North Kanto League for
yes.
You, huh? And it should have been champs for me, but no champs for me. I did have a couple days at work. It was kind of fun. Have you been working at Santenbo lately?
Yeah, I've been working about twice a week. I'm there on Wednesday and Friday last week and this week.
Very nice. But do you work at the Kinshicho Santenbo only, or do you
yes.
also work? Oh, okay.
Only Kinshicho.
I sometimes get a shift or two at the Ochanomizu Santenbo too, which is a really funny place. You've been there before?
I've been
right?
there once, right, with you for a tournament.
For a tournament,
yeah.
You know what is really funny about that place is that it doesn't feel like your normal mahjong parlor. Like Santenbo and Kinshicho it feels pretty normal. Like it's kind of
yeah.
quiet in there. You've got the music going on, and everybody's just kind of seriously playing mahjong. Ochanomizu, it's all students.
Oh really?
Yeah, and. Oh my god, man, like seriously, by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the place is packed.
Wow.
All the tables are full, and it's just like, it's all students going blah, 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 blah. It's so loud. It's really crazy. That place really trips me out. It doesn't feel like your typical mahjong parlor.
Yeah, Kinshicho has almost no students. Everyone's in
yeah,
suits.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's older. A lot of business guys, which you wonder, what in the world are those guys doing at 3 in the afternoon playing mahjong?
Well, I think
us.
They probably all work for the same company. So I know that there's at least two customers that come in and play free there.
Uh-huh.
They play the cash games, and they work at the same company.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So I'm guessing that they just keep quiet for each other.
I see, yes.
Yeah.
Spying for each other.
Actually, I was working yesterday, and they two people asked me about you, because you had been there the day before, I think. You were there
oh, yeah.
on Tuesday. And one guy said, where's Garth today? How come he's not here? I said, he's not here because I'm here. And he said, oh, right, someone's got to watch the kids. I was like, oh. I guess so.
Oh, yes.
I didn't deny it.
You got to love the assumptions that come with us being two foreigners. All right. All right, well, let's go over some of the results of what has gone on in the world of Mahjong this week. From the United States, the U.S. Professional Mahjong League had their monthly event on the 21st. Sounded like it was another big success. They had quite a few more players than they had last month.
Oh, really? That's cool.
And it sounds like they're going to write a report. I didn't see the report for that yet. But
said that at the last one in January, I asked them for a report, and they said that in January they actually didn't keep results. Oh, sorry. They didn't keep results because... they're just trying to get the events going.
Right.
So they're just kind of getting together, playing a few games, and having the event all set up like that. So I'm imagining that's exactly what they did in February as well. So you
all right.
don't see any results.
Did you hear about what... in the last post I saw, there was talk of open play, which is that just what they're doing right now, or is that like a new kind of event that they're doing that will involve some kind of tournament, perhaps?
I think that's just what they're doing.
That
they're
doing?
Not,
okay.
not keeping scores, and they're just... Well, maybe they keep scores for the games, but they don't keep a running tally. So maybe they just play games when the tables open up and things like that. I'm not exactly sure about the details, but that's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it sounds like also they have like a venue that they can use from, say, 3 to 7 o'clock, and then right at the... it's like a place that is used for other events also, and they have to get the heck out of there as soon as the time rolls around. But yes, way to go, USPML. Looking forward to hearing about more successful events from them.
Yeah, they write a monthly report to Charlene. I hope I'm saying her name right. It's either Charlene or Charlene. Guy or G.
Uh-huh.
you can read that on the ReachMahjong.com home site. I'm sorry if I got the name wrong.
Confirm
I'm going to say
that.
Charlene Guy, and if it's different, mm-hmm. please tell me.
It can't possibly be quite as bad as calling somebody West Egg when their name was really Four Willows.
At least I know how it's spelled.
Yeah. okay, and the other big result from this weekend would have been... not the other, because there were a few. One of the other big results would have been Champions League, but after talking up the Japan Pro Mahjong League's website... suddenly there's no reporting on it. I can't find any report on who won Champions League, and I hadn't talked to anybody. The finalists were Sawazaki, who was in the fight, who won it last time. Or no. He was a finalist from, he won it 2 times ago, I guess.
Okay.
But Fujiwara won it last time. Right. But he was on the final table along with Tashiro, who's in D2, I think, and
wow.
Horiuchi. No, Tashiro was also in D1. He was in D1 with us. And Horiuchi, who finished at the top of D1. Some interesting newer players. Yeah, newer players coming up from the bottom to make it into the finals of Champions League.
Way to go, them. Way to prove yourself.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to find out how that final went and hear who won when the when JPML finally gets their act together on reporting. Okay, and the other big result would have been the North Kanto League.
Right.
Give us a rundown on what happened there.
Well, I started out good. I wrote this in my column as well, which went up yesterday.
Okay.
I started out actually kind of good in the first game, and it just kind of went like the Special League did at the table with you. It just kind of went downhill. I didn't get a huge negative. I was down about 30 points after 3 games, which put me at a total of 90. And so it was right at the border.
Right.
So I had to get positive in the last game. And I did everything I could. And in the end, at the very, very last hand, I did get a positive score.
Uh-huh.
And it was 400 points too small to make it into the final.
Oh, my God. Oh, yes. I remember seeing that. I think you had a 92.8. And the fourth place person had a 93.2.
Two or something.
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah, it was awful.
Oh,
and
God.
He was so excited. That was Ota. And I had been at the table with him the month before.
Who was so excited?
His name was Ota.
Ota, huh.
Yeah. He's kind of young. I think he went in before us, but he's around the same level there.
Uh-huh. Huh. Does he play in Tokyo Leagues also, or
yes.
Just... Okay.
Almost everybody plays in both.
Yeah, I was really surprised. It seemed like most of the names I saw in there was like, holy cow, they're playing in both leagues. So
yeah, it's just because it's so close, you know.
Uh-huh.
It's mostly people from Tochigi and Gunma.
Uh-huh.
I mean, most of the people are from Takasaki. It's just an hour
uh-huh.
from Tokyo, which is not any different from my commute to Tokyo, basically.
Right.
So.
Huh. I might think about joining you there next season.
Yeah, I hope I have time to do it next I'm talking to them. I might not be able to do the first one because we have so many ReachMahjong.com Cups going.
Oh, right.
But in the second half of the season, I think I'll definitely be able to participate again.
It is going to be a busy spring of Mahjong.
Yes.
Actually, a busy year with the World Series.
Yeah.
Jeez. A lot of Mahjong coming up in the next few months, yes. March is kind of an off... Pardon? Yes.
I wasn't done talking about North Kanto.
Oh, sorry, North Kanto, yes.
Well, that was for the Pro League, but we also have the Pro Amateur Open League.
Right.
The Mixed League. And not all the pros play in that, actually. Kawarishi
Shimizu
doesn't play in it.
Oh, I see.
A few other people don't, but I played in both. And I was actually in a position where if I got a nice positive, I would be able to make it to the finals of that one as well.
Uh-huh.
So I had a chance for both. And the first game I lost, I was with Ogawa Naoya, who's someone who came in with us, and he's pretty good friends with us, but he had no chance, and he just won and won and won and won. And then the next game, I got a really good start. I was up to like 40, 48, or maybe more. Maybe I was in the 50s.
Wow.
40, I was about 48,000 points in first place was my dealer. And then the player to my right, his name is Motogi.
Uh-huh.
And I play with him a lot. He's the one, he discarded a big Dragons to me in Champions League this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I played
Huge.
With him in North Kanto, and, you know, I see him a lot, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, this time, he had pawned, like, the Red Dragon or something, and then I discarded the Green Dragon, and guess what?
Oh, no.
Big Dragons!
Revenge.
32,000 points! I was
Ouch.
Down to 16K, right?
Oh, man.
I was down to 16K. Then... I drew a Baimon, 16,000 point hand.
Very nice.
Put me back into positive. And then I won Mangan, 8,000 points.
Nice.
And then I got a dealer Hanemon for 18,000 points.
Cow.
I went back into first place.
Wow.
With like 55,000 points.
After throwing 32,000 points.
Yeah,
that
I was
amazing.
In first place by 300 points on my last dealer. which I was the second to last dealer. Motoki, to my right, he was the last dealer. On my last deal, so we had two continuances out there.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy to my left, which hadn't done, I mean, the other two guys both hadn't done anything, obviously, the whole game, because Motoki and I were
the rest of the hands were spent by you guys winning.
Right. So then he won an 8,000 point hand off of me, which was 8,600. So I went back down to second place. In the last hand, when Motoki was the dealer, he threw an 8,000 point hand to the same guy to my left.
But it was only 8,000 points.
Right, so he still won the game by 300 points.
God.
I went back into first and then went into second only by 300 after discarding a Yakumon hand,
wow.
a limit hand. It was amazing.
What a roller coaster of a ride that game was.
And plus, it's a 50-minute limit on the games. In the Open League. Not in the Pro League, but in the Open League. It's a 50-minute. So all this happened in 50 minutes.
That's
we
amazing.
Still finished the game.
Wow.
It was amazing.
You must have been playing at lightning speed. All right, yeah, a couple of the other standings I noticed from the North League. Ogawa finished second in both the Pro and the Pro Amateur Leagues.
Ogawa, the Big River one, right?
Yes, the Big Ogawa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's looking pretty strong.
I think
he
did quite well last season, too.
Wow.
We had two seasons for North Kanto.
And Aizawa, first...
Yeah.
After a big loss, but she had won so hugely in the first
sessions. She had over 200
sessions, yeah.
points, yeah.
The big minus did not hurt her so much.
Right. She, I guess, I found out that if you win the Pro League in the North Kanto, then not only do you get, the qualification for the Special League, but you also get seeded into all of the main events for Masters and OE, and also get to play from... level 5 in the Judon, the 10-tier tournament.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah. So, it looks like she was going for that.
That's big points right there.
Yeah.
Huh. That's interesting. Way to go, Aizawa.
I went to her bar the other night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And her husband have a bar.
In where?
In Shinjuku.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a hostess club, or it's
just
a normal bar?
It's a shop bar.
Shop bar, wow.
Yeah, it's just like they just have a bar counter and chairs set up, and then the table is glass, and there's trains that run under the table. It's pretty cool. Her husband loves trains.
Oh, wow.
He used to live in Kyoto. He's from Kyoto originally. I guess he said he came here 4 years ago. And when I said I lived there, he's like, I know what train you rode. And he took out model trains of the train that I rode when I was in Kyoto living there, going to Kansai Gaida.
He was prepared.
Yeah.
You got to be stoked when you're prepared for, you know, somebody in that situation. You have the right train.
He's really a really nice guy. Like, they look a lot alike.
Really?
If you see a picture of them, they look a lot alike. Like, they have the same kind of style, and he has long hair. And he's kind of like a new half, I think. Like, he has
he is
a chest. And
I see.
So, but they're really, really fun. And so I went there with Yagura, who took third place, I think, in the World Series Reach event in 2008. I saw him at Bobby.
I haven't run into him in a while.
Well, he's mainly based in Macau right now.
Right,
he writes
a
blog
poker
about poker,
right?
Right? And but he just happened to be in Japan, and I had to drop something off at the Mahjong parlor called Bobby in Shinjuku. He happened to be there, and I was like, hey, let's go get a drink. He's like, all right. And so we went to Aizawa's bar. It was awesome.
Anyone
who comes to Tokyo, we should go stop by Aizawa's bar.
That sounds like a good idea. I'll have to stop by there one of these days.
It's called Laugh Bar.
Laugh Bar.
Mm.
All right.
L-A-F.
Must find it. All right, let's see. Some other Mahjong news. Cherry Blossom Tournament will be happening this Saturday in the Netherlands, Saturday the 27th.
Right.
It's a little late to get you guys subscribed to it because subscription closed on Saturday of last week at 64 players.
Wow,
which I
nice.
Have to say is pretty impressive. I mean, it started 11 years ago with just 12. Excuse me, and now they're up to 64. So looking forward to hearing some interesting results.
That's
from
almost as much as the European Open.
Yeah, and it's bigger than North Kanto.
It is. That is true.
Absolutely. So way to go, Netherlands.
Well, you know, North Kanto were playing in the parlor. They still have free tables going.
At the same time?
Yeah, they have...
wow.
We don't rent out the whole parlor.
Uh-huh.
It just goes on at the same time.
Huh,
there's usually two or three cash games going at the same time.
Interesting. And some other news I found that was interesting on Mahjong News, just some interesting stories. Apparently, there's a problem with older Chinese, they, you know, it's always a problem with the younger kids using drugs, but the older Chinese are now using drugs to get themselves through all-night Mahjong sessions. This is it's become a big enough problem in Shanghai that the authorities are actually trying to look into it. And I guess the big problem is that most of these people are fairly uneducated, so they don't really realize the harm from doing methamphetamines and cocaine.
Oh my god!
But they're honestly using this stuff to get themselves through the night of Mahjong.
I guess it would work.
Yeah, way to go. I have to say, what a commitment. I have not yet reached that level of commitment, and I feel they are outdoing me. I feel like I need to get my act together and somehow be as committed to the game as these guys are, because they are really going all out.
I have gotten, like, had enough cups of coffee during an all-night session that I've gotten the shakes from
it. Yes, I hate coffee, so my solution is Mountain Dew. Which we all remember had more caffeine than any other soft drink,
right,
until Jolt came out.
Yeah.
So yes, I use Mountain Dew, and I do get pretty shaky by the end of the night. But we might have to step it up a little one of these days and become like the Chinese once we reach middle age. Once one of us reaches more middle age than he already has.
I will be 27 in less than a week.
Wow, that's definitely approaching the middle of middle age. Nearing middle age. And the other story I thought was kind of interesting was that Japan actually has the second largest number of gambling machines in the entire world.
Wow, meaning mostly pachinko slot machines.
Yeah, and that was something I thought was interesting because, so they listed some of the things that, because you know gambling is illegal in Japan.
Especially after 11 p.m.
Yeah. That's my favorite. The varying degrees of illegality.
And so, that's why the Mahjong parlors, if you're ever here, you'll notice the Mahjong parlors close their curtains at 11 p.m. All the pachinko parlors, all the semi-legal pachinko parlors close their doors at 11 p.m.
Yes. This is so that they can prevent gambling in Japan. Among the forms of gambling which are not gambling, which are allowed, is betting on the horse races, bicycle races, motorcycle races, and motorboat races.
And I think they have dog races, too.
Oh, yeah, they have dog races, too. That's right. They didn't put that in the article. They also have the lottery, and then they listed pachinko, mahjong, and pachislot, which, in the article, they said is allowed because it has a skill stop?
Well, they all have skill settings. So it's 1 through 6.
Okay.
And if you have a 6, it's going to win a lot, and if it has 1, then it's going to...
All right, so it is actually based on your ability to stop the thing at the right spot.
On slot machines... yes, if the bonus comes into the machine, you have to be able to stop it. But if you can't, you can call the guy over that works there and say, hey, I have a bonus. Can you put on the 7s for me? And he'll stop it for you. Yeah. And one of my ex-boyfriends, his dad loved to go play, and sometimes I'd just go, because I played a lot as well at the time. Before I started playing Mahjong, I played almost exclusively slot machines, but I would be there playing, and my boyfriend's dad was there, and he'd be like, oh, there's a bonus. Jen, stop it. Or he'd call the guy over. He never even tried. Like, I got it so I could do it pretty well, but he never even tried to do it. And some of the guys just don't. They're just like, oh, there's a bonus.
Huh. And
stop
they
it.
And you yeah. And you just call the guy over and say, I'll take my bonus.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh, well, if you don't stop it on the 7s, the bonus won't happen.
I see. Well, that is a game of skill, then. You have to be very skillful in requesting the store guy to come over and put it in for you. But that skill stop thing was something that Benjamin actually wrote an objection to. He said, you know, actually, it's not really a specifically skill stop.
Well, yeah, the bonus has to be in the machine already. You can't just stop it whenever you want.
Okay.
So that's true. I mean, it's just a loophole, so it doesn't really matter if it's really a skill stop or not, right? It's just what they use to say it's okay.
Right, yeah, because they're saying it's a game of skill because of that skill stop.
Yeah.
But yes, it is funny. It does always make me laugh when you talk about gambling in this country and the Japanese. Oh, gambling is illegal in our country. Oh, yeah, I see that. What are you people talking about? Oh, but the other statistic I thought was interesting. There is a type of gambling machine for there's one gambling machine for every 26 people in this country.
Wow. I would think there was more. Have you seen how many bingo parlors there are at every single... But I guess that's just a machine, if you count... Does that count Mahjong tables?
Yeah, I'm not sure. They didn't say exactly what they were counting.
So if it didn't count Mahjong tables, then we're going to be pretty close to one for every 20, I think.
Yeah. If they're counting Mahjong tables, that's because there's so many of those.
Yeah. There are. I think... How many parlors are there? I've heard... Lots of numbers, 6,000.
Yeah, I remember you saying 6,000 when you were talking at the World Series of Mahjong.
Yeah.
Yes, so if you figure at least, say, 3 or 4 tables at each Mahjong parlor, that's another...
And that's probably a low estimate, too.
Yeah, let's say an average of 5 tables at every Mahjong. There's another 30,000 tables.
Yep.
There are 30,000 machines. Whew, lots of machines. Lots of gambling happening in this... Well, not gambling. Lots of non-gambling happening in this... In a sort of gambling sort of fashion in this non-gambling country. All right, that's Mahjong news, and that brings us to our strategy segment, which I forgot to tell you what it's going to be about this week. Losing.
I like to be surprised.
Yes. Losing.
Oh,
losing.
I'm good at that one.
Yes, losing as part of your strategy. So let's see. I had a couple points I was going to say about losing. Is there anything... just before I say what I want to say about losing, is there anything you... Any points you want to make about losing?
You don't make any points when you're losing.
Yeah. That is part of the problem with losing, isn't it? You're just giving away points, handing them out. So the thing is, this is something I wrote about last week in my my relay essay for the Japan Mahjong Professional Mahjong League website. And I'm a little disappointed because I didn't quite manage to... my Japanese is just a little bit lacking. And I had some really bigger points that I wanted to make. There are three kind of standard points about losing that I think people have probably heard before. First of all, when you're losing, you want to be able to lose in such a way that you don't lose too big.
Right.
You can't win every game. And so part of being a winning player overall... is managing to lose as small as possible when you have to lose. There are times that you just can't win. You're going to have to lose. And trying to win even when you're going to lose is just going to make you lose more.
Yes.
Right? And so, if you can lose better, you won't lose so big. Another thing that you gain from losing well is that you'll keep from going on tilt. Once you start losing... And this is a huge problem for me. Once I start losing, I just go into a downward spiral, and I keep trying to win with ever wronger and wronger situations. And if you can get good at losing well,
Luna, quiet. Sorry.
She feels like she's losing, I guess.
I think she's supporting me. She writes my Japanese blog for me.
Oh, very nice.
So she knows all about my
losing.
She's
trying to add corrections to my discussion on losing. But if you lose well while you're losing, you'll feel, you won't feel so bad about losing, and it'll help you come back in the next game when you do have a chance to win.
Right.
Or it'll also help you not lose so badly in the next game if you still are in a bad situation and you're having a hard time winning that game too.
Right, and sometimes if you're concentrating well enough, then you can actually come back in the same game even. I've had many situations like that, the limit hand. In
right.
North Kanto, I came all the way back from that one, and
right.
I had done that a couple times in the North Kanto League this year. I was down to 11,000. It was my last dealer, and I got 4 concealed triples.
Wow!
And then I took first place for that game, and I think all the other games that day.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you throw a big hand like you did there, and you think, oh God, backbreaker! Like I'm done. But no, you keep your head up. You don't go on tilt, and you come back. One other point that I think is really important that a buddy of mine made to me, a poker player, who's a very successful poker player and is trying to advise me on how to be a successful Mahjong player. If you want to be certainly a successful gambler, you need to keep all the players happy. And just because somebody else wins with a play that you think is less than, substandard, weaker players still need to be happy about the game.
Yeah.
And if you make weaker players unhappy about their wins, what can they win? They're going to lose usually when they're playing against stronger players anyway, so then they lose there. And even when they win, they feel like they lose, because then you tell them, oh, that play, that was a terrible play. How can you win playing like that? So it's just a bad move all the way around to lose badly.
Yes.
It's very important to be able to lose well. And the real point that I wanted to make when I was writing my article for JPML was that as we get better, as we become better, stronger players, and become better at winning, I think we get worse at losing. And it becomes harder to lose. The more you win, the harder it becomes to let yourself lose games, because you feel like, oh God, I'm right there, I could just win this hand. And it becomes really hard to let yourself let hands go, right?
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really big thing. It's a big consideration that you need to keep in mind. As you become a better player, you still have to work on being a better loser too.
Yeah, I think also that that goes along with the with becoming a better player and getting harder to lose. It also gets harder to lose to worse players, and it gets harder if you think somebody's not as good a player as you, whether they are or not. The reality is not relevant, but if you think they're worse than you, it gets a lot harder to give them credit
hands
and things like that. So, and they might actually not be as bad as you think they are, but once you have in your mind that they're worse than you, as you become a better player, then it really hurts your game. You have to be able to, like, give weaker players credit when you're playing.
And, you know, just because somebody's a weak player doesn't mean that they can't put a winning hand together.
Right.
You know, just because we have I have one idea about what is better, doesn't mean that that is actually better anyway. And it still takes a winning hand to win the game.
Right.
And, you know, just because somebody else reaches on every single reach, which is whatever, doesn't mean that when I have a weak hand like I did when I was talking about last week, that I should reach with that hand. You know, it's still a losing play by me.
Right.
So it's important to be able to lose well. My point for this week. All right, and that about wraps it up for my talk for this week. Let's see.
I wanted to plug one thing.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. Plug away.
I'm writing a column for World Gaming Magazine, which is an English and Chinese publication. I just started in Macau. I'm not sure if I mentioned it before on the podcast.
I remember you talking about it just to me, but I don't think you've talked about it on the podcast.
So we had the launch party in December.
This is a print magazine, or it's
a printed magazine. It's also online.
Uh-huh.
You can see it at worldgamingmag.com, I believe.
Uh-huh.
I'm writing a Mahjong column with Puyo, and he is an official from the World Series of Mahjong. He's also one of the leaders of the JMD, which is the forums that play of the group of people that plays Mahjong Fight Club in Hong Kong and Macau.
Wow.
So we're writing it together. There was a pre-launch issue. And the first issue was December, January. The next issue was Chinese New Year, and it came out last week, I think.
All right. So it'll be a bi-monthly publication?
It's mostly bi-monthly. They do one for Chinese New Year because of the holiday.
Oh, okay.
But we're also going to have another one coming out in March. It'll be the March-April issue, I believe. So you can check it out online. And actually, reachmahjong.com is going to have an ad in it in the next issue.
Wow.
A full-page ad.
Very nice.
Yes. So that will be in the March issue. So if you're in Macau, pick up a copy. They're all over the place. You can get them at most of the casinos. And also you can check it out online, like I said, a thousand times already.
And you will be in Macau
next week.
Yes. for the APPT?
No, Macau. For the Macau Poker Cup.
Macau Poker Cup, which is run by whom?
By Poker Stars.
By Poker Stars.
Poker Stars has a live room at the Grand Lisboa.
Wow.
And so we have an event there
every
few months.
That would be nice to go to.
Yeah, they have it every few months. It's a good event.
Go play a little poker and play some mahjong with the Hong Kong.
They have a mahjong room at the Holiday Inn there.
Wow.
So I think I'm going to go check that out this time. I have a couple of friends that go there sometimes. So.
Wow, some cool stuff going on in Macau in the upcoming week and a half, I suppose. All right, that wraps it up for our talk for this week. Once again, you can email us. We always love to get feedback. I am Garth E, G-A-R-T-H-E, at reachmahjong.com.
And I'm Jen, J-E-N-N, at reachmahjong.com. You can send fan mail to Luna at my email address.
We always love to hear from you. Thanks for listening, and we will come back to you next week.
Thank you. Luna, yell.
ポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり錆びれたジャンスマージャンワイドクラブ お兄さんまたそれロー